chapter number 11 and Genesis chapter number 48 this evening. Hebrews chapter number 11, and then you find your place there in Genesis chapter number 48. And as we're making our way through Hebrews chapter number 11 here in the Hall of Faith, we're now here at Jacob. And it's interesting tonight that out of everything that transpired in Jacob's life, it's interesting to me that God wanted to highlight the moment of his death, or coming up to the moment of his death. And I think that when we look at the life of Jacob, even though it was difficult sometimes, even though it was hard, because Jacob was a mess, amen, and Jacob was rebellious, Jacob was selfish, he was a deceiver. But I think whenever we look at his life tonight, we see a man who really learned what it was to live by faith. And we know tonight, I think we understand this, that we're not really ready to die by faith until we first understand what it is to live by faith tonight. Amen. And so let's look together in Hebrews chapter number 11. And I was talking, getting everything ready, and had my place and done lost it. And so let me go back over here again to Hebrews chapter number 11. I think it's still in my Bible tonight, Hebrews 11. And could almost quote the verse to you tonight, but want to go and read here out of the Word of God concerning the death, or the life, rather, I guess, of Jacob tonight. Look tonight in verse number 21 of Hebrews chapter number 11, and then we're going to read just a little bit in Genesis 48. But Hebrews tells us in chapter number 11 and verse number 21, the Bible says, "By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff." That's an interesting statement concerning him. He was dying, he blesses the sons of Joseph, and in doing so, he worships, and he is leaning upon the top of his staff. Look with me in Genesis chapter number 48. Look in the middle of the chapter at verse number 10, is where we'll pick up our reading tonight, just for sake of time. Genesis 48 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Now the eyes of Israel," and that being Jacob, "were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father had laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. And he also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you, God, for the good songs that have been sung. Thank you, Lord, for God, a church that has invested in its young people. Lord, we thank you, God, for our youth choir. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless each and every one of them, Lord, in the years ahead in their life. I pray, God, that these times and moments, Lord, on these Wednesday night services, Lord, that they would be times that would never be forgotten, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you, God, that we can invest, Lord, that we can worship you. God, we can invest in eternity. And, Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless us tonight, Lord, as we look at your word. I pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith. Lord, as the disciples prayed, Lord, these are the themes of these nights. I pray, Lord, that you would increase our faith. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you give us practical examples, Lord, of people just like us. And God, through trials, tribulation, difficulty, testing, Lord, they learn to trust you. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do that for the honor and glory of God. And for Jesus' sake, and in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Genesis chapter number 48 deals with the instance of what is referenced in Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight. And there's some interesting things that Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 21 says concerning Jacob. The Bible mentions that he blessed his grandchildren. And he says in the text in Genesis chapter number 48, kind of in our language, he thought that he wouldn't even see his son anymore. But not only does he get to see his son, but he gets to see his grandchildren, those boys that were born to Joseph there in Egypt. And he gets to bless them and gets to pass along to them and talk to them about what God had done for him. And the blessing is not only passed to Joseph, but passed on to his offspring. And so he blessed. And then, of course, he worshiped tonight. This was an act of worship, what he was doing. And we've said this in days gone by in some of these messages tonight. But worship is an act of faith. Whenever we come together and we worship God, we lift up our hands and lift up our hearts unto God. It is an act of worship. We are saying yes, that we believe the Word of God. We are verifying the truth in our own heart, in our own life. It's true whether we believe it or not, but how wonderful it is that we can appropriate this book and what God has told us and the truth of the Word of God. We can make it ours, and we can include ourselves in that tonight, and we can worship God tonight by faith. And so he is blessing the next generation. He is worshiping in front of the next generation. But there's something interesting about Jacob as he is dying. The Bible says that he sits up on the bed, and Hebrews chapter number 11 gives us this detail that while he blessed and while he worshiped, the Bible says that he leaned upon the top of his staff. That staff was important in Jacob's life. It was not just an old man with a walking stick who he needed help getting around. That staff represented some great things in Jacob's life. No doubt, as he looked back upon his life and he saw the hand of God literally move and touch him at times and moments in his life. And the God who made a covenant with his father, and his father before him, had revealed himself unto Jacob and had become real in his life. Whenever we think about Jacob leaning upon the top of this staff, I just kind of have this thought in mind on learning to lean on Jesus. That's really what faith is tonight. Amen. As we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we begin the Christian life, we're excited and we're full of zeal about what the Lord has done in our heart and our life. We've got newfound joy and newfound life like we never knew before upon salvation. But you know, sad thing is whenever we go through life, and you'll kind of agree with what I'm saying tonight, I hope you do. It was at least my experience. Sometimes you go on and you begin to get used to things. You begin to get used to what God has done. You get used to the shout. You get used to the singing. You get used to the preaching. And then life kind of becomes normal. But what we find is through the normalcy of life and through the commonplace of life, we learn what it is to trust God. That excitement and that zeal that was there as we found new life in Christ, we come to the understanding that it's more than just a feeling and it's more than just an emotional high. And we ought to be excited about our salvation. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength tonight. But we need to understand that walking by faith and walking with God is involved so much more than just a feeling and our emotions and our circumstances and what is going on around us. Faith is trusting God in spite of how we feel. Faith is trusting God in spite of the fear. It's trusting God in spite of the difficulty. And we learn to trust God in the day in and day out. He leaned upon the top of his staff. This scene in Jacob's life as he is preparing for death, And he is blessing his family and he is imparting some things to them. No doubt godly wisdom and the word of God, how God came and moved on his behalf and worked in his life. As he is doing this, he is leaning upon this staff and he thinks back to what God had done in his heart and in his life tonight. Amen. Whenever we think about Jacob learning to lean upon the Lord, and you and I as Christians learning to lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to show you three areas in this chapter, in Genesis chapter number 48, referencing back to Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 21, and I want to draw some help tonight from Jacob's life if we can. Genesis chapter number 48, whenever we think about Jacob leaning upon the Lord, the first thing that I want you to consider tonight, I want you to think about the choice involved. Now, remember the scene before us. Jacob has brought his sons, or Joseph has brought his sons, rather, to see Grandpa Jacob. And he wants to introduce Ephraim and Manasseh to his father. This is a time of excitement. You remember everything that has transpired, not only in Jacob's life, but everything that has transpired up to this point in Joseph's life. Joseph was separated from his family. He was thrown into the pit by his brethren. They lied upon him. He was sold there into slavery. He found himself in the house of a man by the name of Potiphar. The betrayal and the deception of Potiphar's wife. He was there in prison with the butler and the baker. And through all of that suffering and through all of that difficulty, God exalted Joseph. All of that has taken place, and now this wonderful reunion between father and son and this meeting of grandchildren is taking place, and Joseph brings his son to be blessed by Jacob. One of the greatest blessings in Old Testament times, one of the greatest blessings in the days of antiquity, is where that patriarch of the family could pass on the blessing to the progenitor or the heir of all of the different things that pertain to being head of the family. And so what we see tonight is we see that as Joseph brings his sons, it was of course the order of things in this culture, that the eldest would be blessed. And of course we know tonight that the eldest would of course be Manasseh. Manasseh was the eldest, and of course everybody was expecting Manasseh to be blessed. But we find in Genesis chapter number 48 that the Bible says this, that Israel stretched out his hands in verse number 14. He put his right hand upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head. And here's what the Bible says, guiding his hands wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. Now, with Manasseh being the firstborn, and Manasseh being having the blessing coming to him, here's what we find out, that this may have been man's will, but it was not God's will tonight. Amen. The purposes of God are not bound by man's will and bound by man's desire. And Ephraim, being the youngest, in fact was blessed over Manasseh. Now, whenever we look at Bible history and we look at these prophecies in the Word of God, we'll find out that one of the poetic names for Israel indeed was Ephraim tonight. Amen. And so it proves out to show us that what God had instructed Jacob to do in this time of his old age, it proved out to be right tonight. God's way was always best. Amen. God's choice was the correct choice, because indeed Ephraim was blessed over Manasseh. You say, well, what's the point of all that? I said all of that to say this, that as we look at Jacob blessing the younger over the eldest, there are some things that I want to show you here in the Word of God concerning this choice that Jacob made. Now, I'll say this first, preface everything that I'm going to say. Serving God is a choice. Amen. Walking by faith is a choice. We are not Calvinists tonight. We don't believe in that particular doctrine of election, how they choose to interpret it tonight. But we're not mindless robots going about through our existence in this life, just doing whatever it is that God would will us to do. Well, that'd be good sometimes if God would just hit the override button and make me do what He would have me to do. But that's just not reality tonight. Amen. There is a choice involved in every day that we live. There is a choice that is set before us, rather to do the will of God or to do our own will tonight. Amen. To operate in our own understanding or to operate in God's understanding. And I want you to see, during this choice to bless the younger over the elder tonight, there was some confirmation of what was taking place in Jacob's heart tonight. Even Joseph couldn't understand. I'm going to say more about that here in just a moment tonight. But when we think about Jacob's choice tonight, I want you to see that his choice revealed commitment. His choice revealed commitment to the will and the Word of God tonight. Now, Jacob, unlike us tonight, did not have a complete Bible. There's a whole lot of the Bible up to this point probably was not written at all. And what man had to go off of was the verbal Word of God. Now, I don't know whether God spoke audibly or God spoke in a man's heart, much like the Spirit of God does today, but here's what I do know. God spoke, amen. And they did not have a divine revelation. They did not have a copy of the Word of God. And so all that they had to go off of was the voice of God in their life. And here Jacob is. He is blessing Ephraim over Manasseh. Everybody knows that Manasseh is supposed to be blessed. He's supposed to be the head of the family because, after all, he is the eldest and he is the oldest. And even Joseph himself tonight, the Bible says that he was displeased with what took place. Now, having God having exalted Joseph the way that he did, and Joseph being that favored son, it would have been real, real easy for Jacob to say, time out, I'm sorry. Joseph, you're right. Let me swap my hands back. Let me do things the way that they've always done. Let me operate according to the status quo, and let me operate accordingly to how everybody would expect me to act tonight. But there was something that had been revealed to the heart of Jacob. The Bible says that he guided his hands wittingly. He went against what other people said. He went against what Joseph had said. And can I say this tonight? In order to make the choice to follow God, there are some people that will be near and dear to your heart, that you will even have to do the opposite of what they say. You'll have to do otherwise to what they would want you to do. And listen, we're not serving people and we're not serving our family. We love them and we want them to serve God too. But at the end of the day, we've got to obey the Word of God and the still small voice that we have, and the choices that we make to follow God, they reveal our commitment to Almighty God tonight. Amen. In spite of the fear, in spite of the danger of disappointing those that we love, we must be committed to following God in our life. So his choice tonight revealed commitment. Are you committed with your faith tonight? Are you committed to God? Are you committed to what the Word of God says? Or is there a hang up when it comes to family or friend or neighbor tonight? What are they going to say? What are they going to think? Listen, it matters so much more what God says and what God thinks. For one day, listen, I'll not stand before my father and my mother. I'll not stand before my neighbor. But there is a judgment seat coming, and it is the judgment seat of Christ. And I'll give an account for what I did in this body, whether it be good or whether it be evil, and it is Christ the judge who I'll stand before one day. His choice revealed commitment. But then, can I say this? His choice required certainty. His choice required certainty. Look in Genesis 48 and verse number 9. The Bible says, and his father refused. Joseph had told him, no, put your right hand upon Manasseh because he's the eldest. Verse number 19 tells us, and his father refused. Notice what he said. He said, I know it, my son. I know it. And he also shall become a people. And he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. While Joseph was unsure of what was going on, while Joseph was trying to reverse the hands of Jacob, you know, he thought he was old and he could not see, and he was making a mistake in his elder years. Listen here, Jacob knew and understood exactly what was taking place. God had spoken to him, and thank God, with great assurance in verse number 19, he said, "I know it, my son, I know it." Amen. He said, "I know it, my son." There was a voice greater than Joseph's that day. There was a voice greater than all of the roar of the family being gathered together as Jacob would bless his son and bless his grandchildren. There was a voice that Jacob heard that was very, very clear, and he could not deny it tonight. And listen, we're living in a very, very noisy world tonight. There are opinions and voices and all kinds of observations about the world that we live in. And we ought to do this concerning our life, and we ought to raise our children this way, and you know, you're too strict and you're too lenient, or you're this or you're that. And there are so many opinions and voices in the world in which we live. But thank God there is an unmistakable voice that when we hear the voice of God in our heart, there is a certainty and there is a clearness that we hear with the voice of God that we do not hear with anybody or anything else. And there must be a certainty when it comes to doing the will of God tonight. When we hear God's voice, it's unmistakable tonight. And thank God, with that great assurance, we can walk in faith in what He has said to do. And so His choice revealed commitment. His choice required certainty. Find out what the will of God is for your life and do it. And don't let anybody convince you otherwise. But then can I say this? His choice revealed comfort. God gave comfort concerning the outcome of what was to happen. So what do you mean? He said in verse number 19, "He also shall become a people." He said, "I am not leaving Manasseh out. Ephraim will receive the primary blessing. This time Ephraim will receive the blessing of the seed of the family." But here's what he said concerning Manasseh. He said, "He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of the nations." Thank God there was comfort involved in the choice that Jacob had made. And I'm glad that whenever God gives us instruction and we walk out on that limb by faith, I'm glad he doesn't leave us by ourselves. Amen. Sometimes we're left to kind of wonder, and sometimes if we're just honest, we kind of sweat it out a little bit. But I'm glad that there is always confirmation when we are doing the will of God. God will make himself known tonight and give validation to the choice that we have made to follow him. So there's a choice involved tonight. Can I say this tonight, that you'll do what God would want you to do if you really want to. You'll live for him if you want to. Amen. We're free tonight. We're Americans. We can really kind of do anything that we want to do. If we want to serve God tonight, we will. And I hope that you'll make that choice each and every day to honor him. Sad fact is that sometimes we don't. If we're real and we're honest about it tonight, sometimes we do what we want to do, and sometimes we go our own way, but God's way always is the best way tonight. Amen. And so we see that there is a choice involved tonight, but then secondly, not only is there a choice involved, but there's a change involved. There's a change that comes whenever we make the decision to walk with God by faith. If we go back, I just want to reference a couple of verses tonight in Genesis 48. And look at what the Bible says in verse number 7. He said, "And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath." The same is Bethlehem. And so he's referencing how God had blessed him and how God had led him about. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 15. The Bible says, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and my name be named on them and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, what did he mention in verse number 16? He said, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. The angel which redeemed me from all evil. There was a change that had taken place in Jacob's life tonight. Now, we all know this, but it stands good to be reminded tonight. Jacob, his name means supplanter. It means trickster. It means deceiver tonight. Why is that so notable in Jacob's life? We remember how he stole the birthright and he stole the blessing from Esau's brother. We referenced a lot of that last week whenever we dealt with this. But you remember where Jacob was when everything really and fully changed for him. He was at a place called Peniel. He was running from his brother. They were divided against one another. And it was Jacob, when he was there at Peniel, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And the Bible says that he wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. And you remember what happened there. God asked, he asked for his name. And he said, I'm not going to let you go unless you tell me your name, unless you bless me. And he touched the hollow of his thigh. And from that moment on, Jacob's life was changed. God gave him a new nature. And God gave him a new name tonight. Amen. Jacob was a contender, and Jacob had fought for everything that he had ever had in his life. Jacob contended with Esau, even in the womb. He contended with Esau for his birthright. He contended with Esau for his blessing. He contended with Laban for his daughters. He contended with Laban for his cattle. But when he faced God, listen, everything was to be reversed. It was not Jacob who would come out on top. It was not Jacob who was going to be number one, but God had made himself known in Jacob's life, and he touched him that day, and he touched the hollow of his thigh, and I believe this from all of my heart, there was a limp that Jacob had, there was a distinction that Jacob had that followed him all the days of his life. You say, what are you trying to say tonight? I'm saying when God touches you and God changes you, hey, there will be a noticeable difference tonight, not only in your heart, but in your head and your hand. In your home and in every aspect of your life, that limp and that touch had followed that man all the way to the grave, and it'll be no different in our life. When God touches us and God changes us, there will be a noticeable difference in our life. That fire represents the strength of humanity. And God reached out and touched Jacob in the midst of his strength. He touched him in the midst of his self-sufficiency. He touched him in the midst of all his wicked desire and his deception. And he changed him. No, he took him from Jacob, the carnal man, and he made him into Israel. Amen. The prince with God. So what does that represent tonight? Jacob represents that old man, that carnal man. And if you'll notice in Genesis chapter number 48, both names are mentioned. It goes back and forth. It shows us the dual nature of Jacob. It talks about his past, and it references him as Jacob, that carnal man, that earthly man, that trickster, that deceiver, that supplanter tonight, that flat-out liar that Jacob was. But then later on in the chapter, he's referenced as Israel. And whenever we think about the name Jacob tonight, it represents the great depths that God reached down to get this man who was self-serving and self-sufficient and tried to look to no one else but himself. And Israel represents tonight the great heights to which God desired to take him to tonight. And it's no different in our life. When we were lost and undone without Christ, we were a Jacob tonight. Amen. We were self-serving and selfish tonight, and even self-loathing, because many of us couldn't even stand ourselves ourselves and the person that we were. But God reached down further than what we could reach up, and He changed our nature, and He changed our name, and He made us an Israel tonight. And Paul said that we've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus tonight. Amen. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but thank God Christ came and made a difference in our life. Amen. He changed us for time and eternity tonight. Amen. What happened when God touched Jacob? He touched his life and he was never the same. Saved him from danger tonight. Esau, that flesh, was wanting to hunt him down and kill him. It healed old wounds. Esau came and fell on his neck and kissed him. Took two brothers who were at odds tonight and brought them together, transformed him ultimately from Jacob to Israel tonight. Amen. We think about the choice involved, and then we think about the change involved. But then I want you to think about this here in Genesis 48, and we'll be done tonight. I want you to think about the challenge involved. The challenge involved. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 21 tells us this, that he worshiped. Why is that important tonight? Why is it that as this man reached the end of his life, he could still worship God? He could still magnify the Lord that touched him, because there in his old age he realized that it was God that had brought him to this place, and everything that God had done for him and everything that God had showed him, he wanted to pass it on to the generation that was coming behind him. We need some gray-haired saints that will worship, and I think we've got them here. But I'm talking about tonight, the church as a whole this evening. Amen. I think sometimes we expect the younger crowd to do it, but thank God we need to see some old saints, amen, some gray-haired saints, some aged people of God still worship the Lord. It gives us hope tonight, amen. The book of Hebrews chapter number 11 tells us this, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And here's what he goes on to say. He said, by faith, he said, the elders obtained a good report. Thank God there are some elders that we can look to. There are some people who have trodden the path of faith before us. They let us know if God was with them and God blessed them, then no doubt He'll be with us tonight. Amen. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine hearts, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. He gives the mandate in the Word of God that the older generation pass on what they have seen and what they have heard and what they have learned, and what they've been provided of from the Lord Himself. Isn't it interesting tonight that whenever we read in Hebrews chapter number 11, we reference these things. We don't really read about Bethel. We don't read really about Peniel. We don't read about how God came and confirmed the covenant unto Jacob and all of these great things that happened in Jacob's life. The crowning moment, it seems, in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 21, in Jacob's life, is the moment when he was able to bless those that were coming on behind him and worship God. And as an old man, no doubt reflect upon the goodness of God, reflect upon the grace of God in his life, reflect on all of the blessings and all of the victories that he had had, and how God helped him overcome the greatest foe and the greatest enemy of all, and that was himself tonight. Amen. That angel of the Lord redeemed him from all evil tonight. That's my enemy, and that's your enemy. Of great proportion tonight, of great strength. It's not always the devil. It's not always the world. But the one that I have a whole lot of trouble with is, I think, the same one that Jacob had problems with. And that was himself. It's myself tonight. Amen. The one that I look at in the mirror, the one that I have to live with the decisions and the choices that he's made in the past, the one that I have to try to rein in and make sure that he makes the right decisions in the future. Why? Because there's coming a day, Lord willing, where I'll be an old man and I'll be able to look at my children and look at their children and say, this is what God did in my life and this is what God can do for you. Be of great courage. Be of great faith. Trust the Lord and lean upon Him tonight. Amen. As they come with a song tonight, I trust that you...